Well, I'm very happy it's a new year, aren't you? I'm very glad to cross over into a new year. It's always good to kind of turn the page and say, okay, good or bad, it's gone. The only way forward is forward. And the word of the Lord to us this year is a great one. Can you remember? I really hope you can remember. The word of the Lord, we've got it on a screen. The word of the Lord to us, KFSW, this year is a year of God's favor. 2014, let's say it together, a year of God's favor. I love that, don't you? You'd be a bit odd if you didn't love that. I think we're all a bit relieved to hear that it's a year of God's favor. And there are many words the Lord could have used to define the year. Thank God, it's favor. And he wants us to get this word in our heads and in our hearts and really carry it in our heads and our hearts. Favor, 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 favor. You wake up in the morning, think favor. You go to sleep at night, you think favor. He wants us to think it, speak it, expect it, and actually experience it. This word is not just to be a concept. We need to experience it. And the key verse we have for the year is from Psalm 102, verse 13. Let's say it together. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, the church, for it's time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. It's time for favor. Just turn to the person next to you, say it's time for favor. Praise God. Now we all need our minds renewing, don't we? Some of us more than others, but we all need our minds renewing so that instead of expecting doom and gloom, we actually start to expect favor. We expect things to go well. We expect success. Really, it's life-changing. To start expecting favor, it is life-changing. And guess what? When you expect it, you start to see it. When you start to get in faith for favor, you start to see it. You know, we keep getting reports about jobs. People are getting favor in the workplace. Praise God. It's because people, you know, faith is on the rise. That actually they'll be favored. That somehow they'll stand out in an interview amongst however many candidates. And that they will be favored. James just got favor. And, the more we believe for it, the more we see it. And it might just start with the small things. That's the way God works, isn't it? He starts, you get faith for small things. You might have faith for favor when you go shopping. You'll get the bargains, you know? Or you manage to make it back to your car before the traffic warden does, you know? Those kind of things. And when you kind of grow in favor in the small things, you start to have faith for the bigger things. Relationship things, faith for favor at work, faith for good health report, faith for favor with your kids, good reports coming back from their school. And so this issue of favor, this thought of favor, we need to get it in our heads and in our hearts. The word really needs to live in us. And that's why we've kind of rescheduled things a little bit for January. The next two Thursdays, this week and next week, we're going to have church meetings on a Thursday evening because we really want to get this word into you and into us. Because if it lives in us, you know, if the word gets rooted in you, you start to see the fruit of it. So that's the plan. In your diary, set aside the next two Thursday nights, okay, so we can get this word rooted in us. Say to the person next to you, I really need to get this word rooted in me. Okay, because, you know, truth needs to be experienced. It's one thing to read it, and it's great to read it, but the Lord doesn't want it to stay as an idea. He wants what he's promised, the good things he's promised, to become our living, breathing, daily experience. He wants favor to be your experience. So that when you talk about it, it really carries some weight. When you talk to your friends, you've got to test me. Do you know what this happened to me? You know? And whenever the Lord reveals truth to us, his plan is to draw us into encounter. He doesn't just want to inform us. You know, we hear a word like this, 2014, a year of God's favor. He doesn't want that to just stay as a thought or a piece of information. But actually, he wants you to start to reach out for it. To reach to him first and foremost. To reach out to him, but also to reach for what he's promised. I want you just to think about the promise. If we could have the next slide. Jesus actually said, I will be with you always. And I use that at the start of the meeting. I will be with you always. Think about that. and take that personally. The reason Jesus told us that is because he wants to draw us to himself. He wants to draw us into an encounter really with him, and for us to live aware of his presence with us. You know, if I really believe Jesus is with me, right here, right now, I can hear his voice. I can talk to him and he listens to me. And he talks to me and I can hear his voice. That's phenomenal all by itself. But he wants us to experience his presence with us. And so whenever he speaks to you, it's to draw you. It's to draw you into an encounter with him. Not just for you to log it and say, oh, that's interesting. You might even write it down in your journal. But then, no encounter. The plan always with the Lord is that you draw near to him. And many people are content to live with a concept of his presence. Many Christians are content just with a concept of his presence in their lives, whereas God actually wants us to experience his presence. If you won the lottery, would you be happy with the concept of being a millionaire? Come on, of course you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You'd want to see those numbers in your bank account, wouldn't you? You'd want to be able to draw on them and spend them and really experience your windfall. Yes, of course you would. Has anybody here, just raise your hand if you have, seen the film Waking Ned? Right, that's three of us. Okay, four, five, six, okay. Well, for those of you who haven't seen, it's a comedy. Basically, it's set in Ireland. It is a funny film. I would like to watch it again. Ned, he's an old man. Ned discovers he's got the winning lottery ticket. But sadly, he dies from the shock of it. He's going along, yes, he's got this number. Then he figures out, this is all the numbers, this is me. I've actually got the winning ticket. Then he has this massive heart attack and dies. Poor old Ned. And the whole film is about his friends who try and pretend he's still alive so that they can cash in on the winnings. Sneaky, sneaky. I mean, it's funny. It's a funny film. But the reason I mention it, because I think a lot of Christians can be like Ned. You know, we get born again. In other words, we get the winning lottery ticket. But we never benefit from it. You know, we just kind of never really activate our faith and draw on it. So like Ned, you might as well be dead because, you know, you never experience your millions. People get born again. When you're born again, the power of God is available to you. All of heaven is open to you. But we don't cash in on it. How foolish. How foolish is that? You know, if I was God, I would want to shout, you know, stop it, really. Stop living poor. See how rich you are and start living in it. For goodness sake, Paul actually prayed this. Paul essentially prayed in Ephesians that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In other words, Paul prayed, Lord, open their eyes, let them see how rich they are. And that is what the Lord wants to do for us this year. He wants to open our eyes so we really see what is available to us and live in the good of it. Really, you know, benefit from the position God's put us in. God's plan has not changed. The Lord really spoke to me this week. Praise God. Found out on Friday I was doing this message. And I got on my face before the Lord and said, please, Lord, speak. And the Lord spoke to me. He's good, isn't he? He spoke to me about Abraham. And we're going to look a bit at Abraham in a moment. But it just occurred to me how his plan hasn't changed. The call God gave to Abraham has become ours. Can anyone remember the key part of Abraham's call? Blessed to be a blessing. If we could have, it's amazing in the Amplified. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. Genesis 12 verse 3 says, and I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. Look at this in brackets. With abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Isn't that fantastic? Blessing comes to us and through us. We become that channel. Of course, the channel always, you know, is blessed, but it can flow through. Blessed to be a blessing. And so his call has become our call. Abraham was a man who believed God. I love, you know, it says in scripture about Abraham that he was God's friend. I love that. His friend forever. He believed God. God credited it to him as righteousness. God loved him. And, you know, it's like he just wanted to bless him. This man believes me. I want to pour out blessing on his life. More than enough. But he didn't just want Abraham to enjoy the blessing in secret. You know, kind of hidden away, private, so that nobody else could see. He wanted his blessing to be so visible to the people around him, so that people could see it. And the people heard of Abraham's blessing, so that they would realize God is good. Abraham's in relationship with God. Look at his life. Everything seems to go well for that man. Now, I want you to think really about God's plan. Abraham was one man. There he is. Okay. Abraham had Isaac, who had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. There they are. Look at them. They all look alike. See the family resemblance. One man, 12 sons. And those 12 sons became 12 tribes. There they are in their mansions. One man, 12 sons, 12 tribes. And those 12 tribes eventually became a nation. And that nation was called Israel. You know that, don't you? And God's plan was that this nation would be set apart to demonstrate the goodness of God. He chose one man who had sons, who became 12 tribes, set apart as a nation. Because, you know, God wants to bless the whole of humanity. He, right now, in 2014, he wants to bless the whole of humanity. But he does it through people. He does it through taking a person and people and bringing his blessing through people. He doesn't just bless, he blesses through people. He blesses through us. Actually, his call has become our call. If you think about it, you know, you look at Israel, God's intention, his original intention was that this nation would live for him and they would live with him and that they would demonstrate to the rest of the world that God is good and living life God's way inherits blessing. That is our call, church. To demonstrate to the world that living for God and living with God inherits a blessing. It's attractive. Blessing is attractive. No matter how you look at it, it just is. And that is God's plan for us as a people, to be blessed because he loves us, but also because he wants the world to see, a visible sign to the world that God is good. His plan hasn't changed. Abraham's call has become our call. Take it personally this morning. Abraham's call has become your call. He wants to bless you. Get rid of all the negative thoughts and attitudes you might have about God and just know God is good and he wants to bless you. As simple as that. He wants to bless you and he wants his goodness to become visible in your life, in your family, in your work, in whatever you put your hand to. Non-Christians, you know, they can't see or understand spiritual stuff. Till you're born again, John 3 says, you can't see the kingdom. But they can see and understand blessing. Yeah. Can't they? Come on. They see and understand when things go well for you. And we are to be those walking, talking, visible signs of blessing. Signs that being in covenant with God works. Things work well. Think about Jesus. Okay, just to speed forward into the New Testament now. God sent Jesus into the world to show us that he's good. Hebrews said he came the exact representation of the Father. And until Jesus came, all people really knew about God was the law. And, well, basically their thinking was limited. And because of that, they had a very unbalanced view of God. And Jesus came and he blew their minds. He healed on the Sabbath. He treated men and women the same. You know, no matter what people's background or social status or their personal history, he gave the same grace and favor to everyone. And it got their attention because it's not what they understood about God. He became the friend of tax collectors. We heard it earlier in the meeting. He became their friend. The boundaries that were there in people's thinking, he blew away and showed them a different way. And his words were the same to everyone. They're saying to us today, I am the light of the world. Follow me and you will no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I'm the light of the world, Jesus said. He says it. These words should echo through every generation. I'm the light of the world. Follow me. And you will no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. People looked at Jesus, and for the first time, they saw grace and truth working together. They, for the first time, heard words of grace and truth. And the grace changed everything. They'd had the truth, they'd had the law, but they hadn't had the grace. And the grace changed everything. The grace compelled them to want to follow. They weren't following because they knew they should. They were following because they wanted to. They realized God is good. He actually benefits my life. He wants to do me good. So Jesus, like Abraham, really demonstrated the favor of God. The set time has come. The time for favor is now. And there's a little verse in 1 John 4:17 that says, as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus came to demonstrate the favor of God, the goodness of God, God's core intention and motivation to bless mankind. As he is, so are we in this world. We're here to surprise people with grace and truth. We're actually here to surprise people with the favor of God. It was my birthday this week, as you know, and we went away for a few days, and Pastor Judith and Sam joined us. And we were walking, we were actually in Oxford, and we were walking along the street, and there was a busker in the street. And you know, sometimes they can be a bit rubbish, can't they? But actually, this one was really good. He was playing guitar. He was playing that, is it Ava Cassidy song? We all loved it. It was like, oh, you know, there's the icing on the cake. That's lovely. It's setting a nice ambiance for my birthday. I'm walking along, appreciating the music. And Pastor Judas fumbling around in her purse. Nobody was giving this man money. I mean, he was skilled. He was a skilled musician, had a lovely voice. We're all appreciating it. I must admit, the thought never came to me to give any money. And she said, here, Stan, put that in his case. Right, so Stan went over and gave this man some money. And she said, we need to break the trend. People are stingy around here. They're not even thinking to give. We need to break the trend. And so Sam went and put this money in, and I watched. And actually, after that, a couple more people put some money in. And this is the point, church. We are here to demonstrate a different spirit. These little acts of kindness, you know, they speak. They get people's attention. And it's really showing a different way. Freely you've received, Jesus said. Freely give. Generous people are happy people, you know. People who serve and give, they're blessed. And God gives back. He has ways of giving back. And the world needs to see the blessing of God on our lives. Really, you know, in tangible ways, ways that they can recognize and take notice of. I don't just mean material things, although material things is part of it, but you know, in your health, your relationship, your favor at work, favor with your boss, the world needs to see it. So that they say to us, how come you're so happy? How come things always work out for you? And our answer, it should be very simple. Don't give them a whole load of doctrine and a chapter of the Bible. You know, they just need a sentence, something memorable. And really, you know, look, I'm not saying you have to say this word for word, but you just say something along the lines of, I'm in relationship with God, I follow him, and he blesses me. That's it. That's it. It's as simple as that. I'm blessed because me and God are like that. You know, I'm in relationship with God. He blesses me. Abraham, for some reason, his livestock did so well. They were always healthy and strong, always reproducing. He was an unusually successful farmer. Okay? He was the envy of all his farmer friends. Livestock equals wealth. People in this part of the country know, apart from Tom, I don't think we've got any other farmers here. I don't think you deal in livestock, Tom, do you? No. Okay, but livestock equals wealth. Abraham had a lot of it, and really, I'm sure that people would say, what is the secret of his success? What is he doing that we're not doing? You know, does he feed them special food? Does he let them graze in a special place? What is it that he's doing? What on earth is he doing to increase his herds and flocks so successfully? And of course, his answer would have been along the lines of, I am in relationship with God. I follow him. He blesses me. Let's just say that together, shall we? I'm in relationship with God. I follow him. He blesses me. That's it. Now, translate that into your life. What is it that you do that God can really bless, that can really carry and demonstrate the blessing of God? You might not have herds or flocks, but think about your life. What is it that you do that can demonstrate the blessing of God? Your work, your family, your children, whatever it is that you do, God wants to put his blessing on it. Because he wants you blessed, but also because he wants you to be a sign in the world of the goodness of God. Now you need to know the Greek word. We're going to have a little bit of Greek now, a little bit, bite size. The Greek word for favor is charis. Am I pronouncing that right? Charis. The Greek word for favor is charis. Charis in the New Testament can also be translated grace. So those two words, grace and favor, are interchangeable. When you read grace in your New Testament, you can read it as favor. And we're going to do that in a moment. It might make some interesting reading. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Let's swap the word grace now for favor. So, for by favor you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. By the favor of God, you are saved. Okay, it's the favor of God. How did we access the favor of God for salvation? Faith. Faith, faith, faith. How do we access then the favor of God for everything else in our lives? Faith. It's the same way. You got saved by faith. And you see the power of God in the rest of your life by faith. By grace, through faith. By the favor of God, through faith. So we access the favor of God. We get hold of it. We experience it by faith. I know my faith needs to grow. I know your faith needs to grow. But let's be committed this year to seeing our faith grow so that we can see more of the favor of God and dispense more of the favor of God. When I was preparing this message, I had a picture of two rooms. Just stay with me now. I can see some of your attention is just kind of dwindling a little bit. Just back in the room. It's not a long message, but it's a really important message, okay? Two rooms. One room, there was no grace or favor at all. And the other room was full of grace and full of favor. And there was an adjoining door. You can't really sort of see it from that slide, I don't think. But, well, yes, you can. There it is. It's like, yeah, it's very good. It's like you get on plans for a house, isn't it? It's an adjoining door. There you see with that little bit there. So, Jesus opened that door for us to move from the room with no grace into the room full of grace. The door's not closed, not to any one of us. Even if you're not a Christian, the door's not closed. He's opened the door for the whole world. Faith enables you to step in to the room full of grace. All of God's provision is in that room. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness. The most important need that you have in your life now, maybe only you and God know about it, it's in that room. The answer is there. Jesus has opened the door for us into the grace of God, into the favor of God. But we decide which room we live in. That's the thing. We decide whether we live, in a sense, outside the grace of God or inside the grace of God. And the key to living and experiencing the favor of God, faith. I know you know this. I'm not going to tell you anything new, in a sense. But it's a really important thing that we understand this. Are we going to believe or not? Are we going to believe for the favor of God this year or not? The Lord has declared 2014 a year of his favor. He's inviting us into it. In a sense, he wants to whet your appetite for it. He wants you to start getting hungry for it, eager to see it. And he's saying, come on, raise your faith. Start to believe me for special advantages. Start to believe me for privileges. Start to believe me for support, for kindnesses. Start to believe me to put you in a place that you couldn't put yourself in. Favor. Favor, favor, favor. And faith is a choice, you know. That might sound simplistic, but it is. And it's real. Faith is a choice. I'll never forget when just that occurred to me. I was straightening my hair. This is years and years ago. And for some reason, I was anxious about something. I can't remember the details of it. And, you know, you go over in your mind the same old details, looking at the problem from 20 different directions, don't you? Getting more and more anxious. And it just occurred to me, this is a choice. I can choose to keep on being anxious, or right now, I can choose to believe God. Faith is a choice. And it's a choice we all need to make this year. I choose to believe God for X, Y, and Z. You know, whatever you're anxious about now, I choose to believe God. And so then we can ask and believe. Philippians 4, whatever you're anxious about, tell him. Let him know your requests. And then believe, choose to believe that he is going to move in response to your request. And then receive the peace of God. But I want to ask you an important question this morning before I close. In view of this, which room are you living in? Which room do you spend most of your time in? In the room without grace, without the favor of God, or over here? Do you often see his favor? Or is it a once in a blue moon thing? Because the plan of God is that every one of us in this room sees his favor on a regular basis. Favor, favor, here, there, wherever we go. The sad truth is, most of us swap. All of us swap, actually. We swap from one room to another, some more than others. But if we live with unbelief and fear, we find ourselves in this room. If you refuse to use your faith, you know, you don't experience the favor of God. You don't experience the grace of God and that kind of lifting ability that the Lord has. But when the word gets in us and starts to kind of percolate in us, as I hope it is doing this morning, God wants to favor you. When that gets in you and you start to actually believe, you cross over into the grace of God. You start to actually see evidence of his favor in your life. As soon as you start to believe it, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. You start to believe this. You start to believe God for favor. Look, let's be here and now. We start to believe God for favor this week. What happens? We start to see the reality of it. We experience the evidence in our own lives. And this year, God wants all of us to live permanently in his grace. Really experiencing his favor. Just this one more of these. God wants you to live in his favor. I want you to say to your neighbor, God wants you to live permanently in the grace and favor room. Now, remember, every promise is an invitation into encounter. This promise is an invitation into encounter. God has promised us favor. He's inviting us into relationship with him, so that we live in his favor and then demonstrate it to others. Believing God is the only way we're going to start experiencing this. Believing God is going to take us from the thought of it to the reality of it. We're saved by grace through faith. We experience the grace of God by faith. God's favor is available to us. These special advantages. You know, think about it. If you're favored, there's a mark on your life. Special advantages, privileges, things that mark our lives, that become visible to others, that make them sit up and take notice. And God is a good father. He's got nothing but good intention towards you. He wants to surprise you with his blessing. Like, be bowled over. You know, all of us, in our natural minds, you kind of have a cut-off point. I deserve this, but not that. That's too much. Just, you know, let's just bring it down to here. That's lovely. I can make do with that. If I could just have that, I'd be happy. God wants to take you way beyond that boundary that you see you're worthy of. He says you're worthy of it all. I want to bless you more than you could ask or imagine. And we need to shake off every negative thought we have about God towards us. Shake off every negative thought you have about God, God's attitude towards you, and make it your goal this year. I advise you make it your goal this year to meditate on the truth about the goodness of God. Get that in your heart, because we need to have confidence with God. If you think God's mad with you or, you know, disappointed in you, your confidence goes out the window. We need to have confidence with God. 1 John 3 verse 21 says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." That's a really important scripture, because confidence towards God is vital. Without confidence, you start to sink, don't you? You kind of get timid when you start to pray, if you pray. Because normally when you lose confidence and you feel like God's angry with you, you stop praying. You don't even want to think about God. It's like Adam in the garden. You want to hide. And without confidence, we start to shrink back and we find ourselves in the room without grace. If your confidence goes, you shrink back and the favor of God just becomes a distant memory. You don't see it. You don't live in it. It's not your experience. Hebrews 10 verse 35 kind of says the same thing. "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. If you have confidence towards God, you will be richly rewarded," the scripture says. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's so connected. Confidence essentially is another way of saying faith. We lose confidence when we sin. We do. I know that from experience. You know that from experience. When we sin, we lose confidence with God. You can't sin and be in genuine faith. You can pretend and you can say the right words, but the genuine faith is not there. In your heart of hearts, your confidence goes. And so we need to get right with God quick, because confidence before God is so important. Confess our sins and turn our lives around to please Him. You know, I'm committed this year, and I'm sure you are. If not, do it. Turn your life around to please God. And as soon as that happens, the confidence returns. As soon as we repent, the confidence returns, doesn't it? You know, your smile's back. That kind of spring in your step, that kind of lightness on the inside comes back. And God wants us to live with that. He wants us to live with the confidence before Him. So that you can start to ask for favor with confidence. When you're praying with confidence. It's kind of the next verse, really, of the 1 John 3. "So, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him." Look at this. It's like a blank check. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. See, there's a connection between living right and experiencing the favor of God. There is. Don't take this negatively. Take it positively. If we line up our lives to do the will of God, nothing's out of our reach. Anything's possible. All grace will abound to us. God so wants to bless your life. He so wants to bless my life. He wants to daily load us with benefits. You know, really, like, more? Really? Yes. Because I can. Because I want to. All the measurements are determined by us. Hear that this morning. The measurements are not determined by God. The measurement is determined by you. In terms of seeing the blessing of God on your life, the favor of God, the measurement is determined by you. You choose where you level off. I kind of want that to be sobering, because it should be. We choose where we level off. We choose the amount of favor that we see. Please take this positively, because it is. I want to line up my life to please God so that I see the favor of God here, there, and everywhere. when I go shopping, you know, in my conversations, in my relationships, whatever, wherever I am, whoever I'm with, I see the favor of God. The little things, the big things, and everything in between. That's my goal this year. Because God wants us to have the best. He who did not spare his son, along with him, he delivered him up for us all. How will he not much more freely give us all things? He wants to he wants to blow your mind with how good he is. He really does. He wants to surprise you this year with his blessings. And so the ball's in our court, folks. Really, what will you live for this year? What will you believe for this year? If we could go back to that slide, please, with the two rooms. You know, will we live outside of the grace of God? Or will we jump off, choose to believe? You know, faith is like a jumping off point. Will we choose to believe and start to really experience his grace and favor in situations? Are you going to cast away your confidence? Lose your confidence by allowing sin or compromise to creep in? Or are you going to live to please God and develop courageous faith that lays hold of one thing after another, after another, after another? God's plan hasn't changed. The same call that Abraham had, blessed to be a blessing, that's ours. It's your call now. He wants to daily load us with benefits so that we are blessed, so blessed there's an overflow that we can give to others, dispense to others, and the world will see visible signs that God is good. Let's stand together. I'm going to finish with a brilliant scripture. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help." See, God wants to help us. He really does, to help in time of need. Now remember, the words grace and favor are interchangeable. So, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of favor, that we may obtain mercy and find favor to help in time of need. God wants us to approach him confidently this morning, to boldly ask for his favor for things. Special advantages, privileges, support, kindness. He doesn't want us to be timid or doubtful, because actually that's a sign that we don't really believe him. But he wants us to ask confidently for his blessing.